That sure was worth waiting for right there, I'll guarantee you. Thank you, Drew. Good to have you back, buddy. What a blessing today to be in the house of the Lord. Take your Bibles and join me in Psalm 139. I'm excited about today and being able to worship. There was a question in the end of this week, if I was going to be here or not. Man, it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I am excited. This is an exciting time. This weekend, we've all heard the news of the presidential inaugural. And we've also heard the news of hopefully the first hostages of will be returned out of a ceasefire deal. It's a three-phase deal, and hopefully there'll be at least three that is released today by the terrorist group Hamas to Israel. There are still about 100 hostages that they are holding from the October 7th, 2023 terrorist attack in Israel. And so we hope that indeed that will take place. Tomorrow night, there's the National College Football Championship, and it's going on, and there are all kind of other activities. I'm sure I'm forgetting two or three that are going on all of that time. But before we started, I did want to recognize one of our members. I'm not sure if they're here today or unable to be here today, but I did not want to wait. You can thank them if you see them, and that is, I want to make sure I got this title right. I put it in a note on my phone. I read in the Daily Leader and was able to message, our Brookhaven School District announced that Leanne Peavy was selected as the 2023 Presidential Award for Excellence in Mathematics and Science Teaching. She is only one of two Mississippians each year that are recognized, and they had to do 3 years combined. And in those 3 years, 336 Americans were recognized science teachers, math teachers, and your own Brookhaven, Leanne Peavy, was recognized. So let's praise the Lord for her accomplishments. I know where they normally sit, and so, but if you see Leanne, I was going to tell Coach, Leanne now wants her own trophy case. So she's got her national award. That's quite well deserved. All right, well, let's look together. You know, when you walk in the Spirit, well, if you don't have the Spirit, you can't walk in the Spirit. So we talked about you have to be alive in the Spirit. You have to live in the Spirit. And then, of course, before you walk, you have to stand. And right now we're talking about standing in faith. What are the things God's Holy Spirit has revealed is God's word about Jesus Christ that we must stand on, stand firm on. And today we're going to look at what is that other emphasis of this weekend, and that is the sanctity of human life. Each year, around January 22nd, we recognize as Christians and as a nation the sanctity of human life. It was put this time of year to remember the devastating court decision by the Supreme Court, January 22nd, 1973, of Roe v. Wade, which found a constitutional right for the right of abortion. Now, 2 years ago, the court in June of 2022 ruled there is not a constitutional right to take the life of an unborn baby. You do not have the right by the U.S. Constitution to do that. And so we as Christians look at this issue, and for now over 50 years have been in a debate between pro-life and pro-abortion, and it has even affected some in the Christian world, though the vast majority of evangelical Protestant Christians and even Catholics are together on the sanctity of human life. Today, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, some of the basic truths of God's Word, we must stand firmly on. So Psalm 139 reminds us, "For it is you, God, who created my inward parts," beginning in verse 13. "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth." Here is a clear understanding from God's Word. God created you, and there was a you while you were in your mother's womb. You were not a pre-human. You were you, being formed by God. We find ourselves again appealing to a conservative president to undo the devastating liberal policies that pro-abortion presidents have inflicted through executive orders on our country and on our budget, the U.S. budget. Obama, during his rule, President Obama, excuse me, let's respect office and be respectful of the person that has been elected. President Obama was, at the end of his 8-year term, the most pro-abortion president, and he had signed, he had undone the George W. Bush Mexico City policy that said you can't use U.S. budget dollars to fund international abortions. You can't do that. He did that. Trump comes in, excuse me, President Trump comes in his first term and says, we are by executive order undoing the Mexico City policy, reinstating the Mexico City policy and undoing President Obama's executive order. Well, guess what happened? When President Biden came in, he has now surpassed in pro-abortion action what President Obama did. He is now the most pro-abortion president the United States have ever had. And not only did he sign into law the Mexico City, he started lawfare against peaceful pro-life protesters. Senator Hawley from Missouri has asked President Trump to pardon 21 peaceful pro-life protesters that were put in jail. Grandmothers put in prison, some for years at a time, because they peacefully protested abortion clinics. Now, that may not be how you and I would express our disagreement in policy, but people protest pregnancy centers and churches that are pro-life. They try to bomb them. None of those people were arrested. But grandmothers who have peacefully protested abortion clinics, let's arrest them. They took a law that passed in Bill Clinton, which is really kind of a anti-KKK church bombing law, and applied it to these people at pro-life rallies and there's 21 that are being requested. I'm just saying we find ourselves still in this issue and we're divided as ever. Is pro-life really a federal issue? Well, Dobbs, the Jackson Health Organization, the court found by 6-3 ruling that there is not a constitutional right, there never has been a constitutional right in the amendments to the U.S. Constitution that gives a person the right to abort a child. And since it's not in the enumerated rights, the listed rights of the federal government, we've got to kick this out to the states and the federal legislatures, and they have to determine it. So now the laws have gone primarily to the states with pressure on Congress to pass some national ban, or the other side wants a national right to abortion with no limitations. But no branch of the U.S. government, the federal government, can simply assert that there are rights in the Constitution that do not belong. We saw an example of this recently. In one of his last speeches, President Biden asserted that the Equal Rights Amendment is the law of the land and the 28th Amendment. It is not the 28th Amendment. It was given an extension through the early 1980s. By the way, he was living back then, and many of us were, and it still cannot be ratified by 3/4 of the states, and it died. The motion died. The amendment died. It hasn't been relitigated since the early 80s. And he stands up and just simply says, it's the 28th Amendment. Some constitutional scholars say, I have the right to say that. Well, you can find a constitutional scholar to tell you anything. You cannot, as president, just make up out of whole cloth a constitution. And in essence, that is what we have been facing. The Dobbs decision restored the authority to the federal and state legislatures in saying, this is not a U.S. constitutional issue. We cannot decide this for the nation. You have to decide that at the states. So is it a state issue? Well, when you look at what has happened in the last 2 years, what has happened in the states? 19 states have banned or given more restrictive laws than Roe did, and that includes Mississippi. Mississippi, through gestational laws, viability laws, those type things. You can't abort a child after this week, etc. And that is being done primarily because science tells us so early that the development of a human baby in the mother's womb, I mean, they're feeling pain within weeks, a heartbeat within weeks. They're, before the first trimester has been completed, the little baby is sucking its thumb in the mother's womb. I mean, you know, stop. This is a baby. Science, follow the science has been the call for 50 years. Well, when you follow the science, you find out human cells that come together to begin a life, it's only ever human life. It is human. Let it develop. It has the right to live. 29 states, though, have continued the Roe, and some have expanded it. Some have said there are no limits in our state to the right to abortion. You can have an abortion at any time. I've listed those there and the region of Washington, D.C. That is how. My point in saying this is not to give you a history lesson, but simply to remind you, we are still a deeply divided nation on this issue. Two states have had their bans blocked in court, and they're being litigated. For some, and this is a trend I'm seeing, for some, they want to take a common sense approach. Is it a common sense issue? When most people make decisions, they have considerations. Some prioritize these considerations differently. And there are more than just the four I'm going to list here. But the four big ones that we make when we decide to do almost anything, the first one is, what do they say? I call it a political decision. What do they say? Your legislature, your representative. Well, I represent my people. I got to find out what the people of my district say. It's political. Political just means people. What do they say? And a lot of people, when it comes to abortion, they want to know what they say. It's political. And whichever majority is at the time, well, that's the way we'll go. Others say, how will this affect my pocketbook? What's the cost? Does the baby live or does the baby die? It's all about profit. If we do this, could we make some money off of it? Well, when you've had 1 million babies aborted, 1 to 1.5 million babies aborted, believe me, there's an entire abortion industry that makes a lot of money on the pro-abortion laws. It's profitable. But some, that's how they judge it. I'll say this, just if you were to look at this decision, when you abort 60 million babies in just our country, that's not the Western civilization. You say, well, those babies would have cost a lot of money. Let me tell you where that is such a wrong way of understanding our economy. Every one of those babies are consumers. Every one of those babies are customers. Every one of those babies have the potential to be a worker and a contributor to society. Do you know Western civilization as we know it now is decreasing in population? Europe, decreasing. Japan, decreasing. United States, if it weren't for immigration, our population. Why? We're not even replacing through birth our own population. We have an aging population with no workers coming up. Why? We literally have killed our cultures, our civilizations. We've aborted a generation of people that were meant to be here to flourish in our world. Believe me. Oh, there's a cost when we make choices. Pragmatic. Well, how's this going to work anyway? What's the easiest thing? What's harm versus benefit? We all use these. I am concerned today that this particular approach is winning the day. Well, sometimes you just got to sacrifice things to win an election. Sometimes you just got to be more common sense. Believe me, we need more common sense. But friend, there's another consideration, and that's principle. Now, we have different principles. Some have the principle of what's best for the common good. Some say what is moral. Others, what's legally constitutional. These are principles. And some say, well, what is my worldview and how would this affect society according to the way I look at it? That's the way China looks at it. That's the way many authoritarian governments look at it. They decide what is best for their culture. There are different principles in life, but I do not believe these are the most important ways of looking at it. And 50 years later, both sides of this issue have not moved the other side one iota. And that's because we don't start from the same framework. We just simply don't start because, to me, it's not primarily a federal issue or a state issue or a political issue or a pragmatic issue or an economic issue. It is a faith issue. For you and for me as Christians, We start last week with the principle, the Holy Bible, God's written word, is the only authority for what I believe and how I live, for my faith and practice. We are followers of Jesus Christ, and all Scripture is God-breathed. And at the core of our faith, Genesis 1:1, we don't believe we've just come out of some eternal matter that combined itself over billions and billions of years by random chance, evolved under some kind of cosmic force of the universe. We are created by God. There is a difference. You are created by God. And this process, this miraculous, wondrous process, happens when a man and a woman come together and that baby is nurtured in a mother's womb. The miracle of life, of human life. The psalmist says, "For it was you, God, who created my inward parts. You knit me." You knit me, stitch by stitch, stage by stage, while I was in my mother's womb. You have to decide, is there a greater motivation? Is there a greater meaning in my life than just who's in power, how popular I can be? Do I live by some sense of faith or not? I believe the ultimate question of human life and its sanctity is found in God's Word. The value we believe as Christians, all human life is sacred. Unborn and born. It's never been anything but human once conceived. Give it time. It's sacred. Give it opportunity. God loves, so loves the world. Not just certain humans, not just this group or that group. He loves us all. And human life is His creation. It's not mine or yours. God uses us. But ultimately, God is the one that creates that life. And we live by a higher principle. And it's my hope. And it's my prayer that we are not so pragmatic and political that we forget foundational principles. Our rights have come from our Creator. Not the most powerful political group, not a group of justices in black robes in a court in Washington. Our rights, our life comes from our Creator. That's who we are as Americans. But more than that, what supersedes all nationality, all patriotism, is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The question comes, where do you stand on human life? Where do you stand? I'm encouraging you to be bold, to be prayerful, to be involved. And when you get weary, don't give up. Don't quit standing. Be the person who says, this issue is bigger than me. This issue is greater than me. I remember in sermons I've looked at past, I had all of these answers to pro-abortion questions, and I had all of these responses of facts and data and science and logic. But if someone doesn't believe in God, you're not going to change them. And their view, they don't even believe God created this place. God created that child. How can, if you don't have faith, what does the politics really matter in the end? Yes, we ought to do our part to win the day. Don't stop. Influence your representative. Don't quit. But can I tell you something? If you think that somehow the whole world's just going to agree with you if you just give in and compromise and try to work through some type, I'm telling you, keep loving, but keep telling the truth. I love the story of a grandfather talking about his grandson who was a 12-year-old, and he delivered papers for the San Francisco Examiner. And he told his grandfather, he said, Granddaddy, I'm resigning. I've sent a letter. I'm resigning from my paper delivery route. He said, you sent a letter? He said, yeah. He said, would you like to read it? He said, I sure would. This is the letter. San Francisco Newspaper Agency, Circulation Department. Gentlemen, imagine a 12-year-old writing this. I am a carrier for the San Francisco Examiner, as provided in Section 14A of the Youth Carrier Delivery Contract. I am giving the newspaper agency a minimum of 30 days written notice prior to my resignation. Please note my resignation will go into effect Tuesday. I am quitting as a form of protest against the series you printed in early June entitled Gay in America, and the very unprofessional and biased manner in which you report on touchy subjects like gay liberation and abortion issues. I could not in good conscience comply with all the terms of my contract as stated in paragraph 3 and solicit a paper that I personally disagree with. Sincerely, he signed his name. At some point, you just got to take a stand. Now to my dear friends. What happens when we fail? And what happens when we do what we know we should not do, and we fall? It is clear we must stand up again, confess our sin, turn back to God who loves you, trust Jesus Christ, and walk again in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There is only one unforgivable sin, and that sin is not abortion. That sin is not murder. That sin is not lying and cheating and stealing. It is refusing to trust the testimony of God, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus loves you, and if you trust Him, He will save you from your sins. You can come back. People struggle. We all make mistakes. And our country has made mistakes. And we can spend a lifetime trying to hide it, but we will never be healed from it until we get honest with God. You and God alone in that quiet place. Oh God, forgive me. He will. There's a new day. There is a new day. Be restored. Walk in the paths of righteousness with God's help and be restored. I pray that not only for people, but I pray that for our nation. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, our mighty God, we come before you this day. We are people in need of your help, your mercy, your grace, and your restoration. And I pray, Lord, today, for those, I don't know, their life may have never been touched by this issue we've discussed, but they're dealing with something, and they need you, and they need to get honest about it. They've tried. They've read. They've done. They're still justifying it. Still unwilling just to simply submit, surrender. I'm giving it all to you, Lord. I can't do this anymore. I will follow you. Forgive me, redeem me, save me. Some need to be saved. You've never been saved. You're still trying just to be religiously good, and you'll probably fool most people. But you can't fool the person in the mirror. And we can't fool God. Is today your day to just simply say, oh God, save my soul. I trust in Christ. He's Lord, and I will follow him. I receive your restoration as a child of God. Perhaps someone needs a church home and God's calling you here. We would rejoice in your coming. I don't know what the decision is, but as we worship, Lord, would you move on our hearts just to trust you more? In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together. Would you come as the Lord leads you today?